Our reading for today comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, verses 26 through 29. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends, this is a place of learning. You're on a college campus, an institution of higher learning. What do you want to accomplish here? What is it you hope to gain? Here on this Christian campus, you hear that faith is the highest form of learning, that faith is the one thing needful. It's a strange paradox that this highest form of learning is understood most simply and best by newborn babes. This previous Sunday is known historically as Quasimodo Geniti. This Latin word means like newborn babes. The emphasis of our readings this week is on faith, the faith of newborn babes. Just as Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he can by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And as he told his disciples, suffer the little children, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. The faith of a child is given great value. Distinct from this is the doubt of Thomas. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it, Thomas said. Because he had not seen it with his own eyes and felt it with his own hands, he could not believe the truth of it. The other disciples were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus, and out of their joy, they wanted to tell their friend what they had seen. But he rejected the idea. He wanted evidence. Here at this college, you learn what your professors teach you. You learn what you read in your textbooks. You are trained to do research projects on various topics. You go to the library and check out books on the subject. You interview people who are experts on the subject. You set up experiments and surveys to get firsthand responses and learn things that way. Thomas was not asked to do a research project on the resurrection of Christ. He was told the truth of it and asked merely to believe it. Instead, he doubted and wanted to verify what his friends told him for himself. They were first-hand witnesses, and so Thomas was receiving first-hand testimony from them, but that wasn't enough for him. Let it be clear that here Thomas fell into unbelief. He was walking the road of condemnation. If anyone does not have faith, he stands on that road to condemnation. Thomas and all others who would rather rely on their own senses than on the word of God fall into disbelief and damnation. Jump to the end of the story here. Thomas got what he asked for. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe, he had said. And when Jesus saw him, he knew what was in Thomas's heart. Reach your finger here, Jesus told him, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas basically needed to stop relying solely on what his eyes told him, on what his flesh told him. Christ had told all his disciples that he would die and rise again, and Thomas had not believed him. To be fair, none of the disciples had believed him at first. All fled in terror from the world that hated them. When Jesus appeared to them, they were locked behind closed doors for fear. Hold this fear distinct from the faith of newborn babes. These men, the disciples, hid in fear, in darkness. They holed themselves up. If they put their trust in anything, they put their trust in the doors and the walls that would stay shut against the angry Jews. But babies, babies cry out when they are in need, whether they know anyone is there or not. Why? Although they may not be able to put words to it, babies have faith that when they cry out, they'll be answered, and someone will come to provide for them, to take care of them. They cry to demonstrate their whole helpless reliance on another for providence. And this is why our faith is described as quasi-modo geniti. We are likewise in Thomas's situation and the situation of the other disciples. The world hates us, cliched as that may sound, because it hated Christ and his disciples. We hole up in our own dark holes, our hidden rooms, remaining silent for fear of offending the world that hates us. Like the disciples, we are unable to see the one that we believe in. What then do we have to stand on? In fact, we have a great blessing. While we are still sinners, this faith is brought to us through Jesus, even though Jesus has ascended, even though by human means it would be impossible to prove anything about his life, his death, and especially his resurrection. We come to faith indirectly, through means. The Word of God and earthly elements connected to that same Word come to us, create and strengthen faith. And that faith grasps the grace, the forgiveness, and the life that Jesus won. We believe by reading and hearing the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word. Now, Thomas believed by no essentially different means. He heard the Word of Christ, and he saw and felt the very Word made flesh. Now, consider the effect of the story of doubting Thomas if Jesus had not ultimately appeared to this disciple, if he had been allowed to go on disbelieving and doubting. Christ hit this doubt head on, and by dealing with the doubt of Thomas, he dealt with all doubt and unbelief to follow from this time on. Now here's the great blessing. We're not simply asked to believe in Christ. If that were so, we would be no better off than Thomas. I'll believe it when I see it. In our preferred state, relying on our senses, we would have to hide in a hole from an angry God who would seek to destroy us along with our sin. If we want to rely on ourselves, then God will expect us to keep his law perfectly. But we're not merely commanded to believe. We are freely given God's grace and the faith to believe it. And it is free because Jesus won it in his life and in his death on the cross, and because he rose again to declare to the whole world that this grace and faith is free for everyone. Jesus calls us blessed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This is a blessedness whereby we are given faith without having to see it for ourselves. And the essence of our faith is the same as Thomas's. It's a faith that looks to the risen Jesus with trust and with thanks and cries out, "My Lord and my God." Trusting in the risen God, we have the rewards that his death and resurrection won. Because Christ died for our sins, we don't have to die for them. And because he rose again, we too will rise to new life. Believing this, holding it firmly, is what faith means. Because of our faith, we have life. Consider yourselves children in the arms of God. He has done everything for us and asks only for our trust. This is the highest and holiest sort of knowledge, and nothing could be simpler. Amen.